After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Deuce. Thanks so much for downloading the podcast. Dropping a little NBA pod on you because we spent all Sunday watching basketball from 10 a.m. on. Think about the awesome games you had. Jalen Brunson's classic game with Knicks and Sixers, the New York Knicks taking a 3-1 lead. Then after that, Clippers, Mavs, no Kawhi Leonard, Clippers up 31. And somehow, some way, Mavs get back into it. Clippers find a way to win. Then you had the game that looked like, oh, that wasn't going to be much of a game. The Bucks taking on the Pacers. Indiana's feeling good. They feel even better when they find out Dame's not playing. No Giannis. Portis ejected early in the game. You're going, okay, we know what's going to happen now. They're going to smash him. No. Brooke Lopez competed. Chris Middleton competed. They were in it, but the Pacers are up 3-1, headed back to Milwaukee. And then a couple of games after that. And then you had the nightcap. That was another awesome game to watch between the Suns and the Wolves, where Ant-Man went to another level. Let's start the show.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know.
Game four, Knicks and Sixers. This was playoff basketball.
This was playoff basketball.
Well, what will you remember about this game?
Ooh, so glad you asked. So I said to you while watching this game, I go, don't forget this play. And the play was... It was in the fourth quarter after Jalen Brunson had gone down. Then he went to the locker room at the start of the fourth. And then when he was coming back in, it was an offensive possession after a nice block by Hart on the other end of the floor. And Brunson, shot clock winding down. What does he do? He makes something happen. And the reason why I said, don't forget that play, because it felt like, man, he's banged up. He's given it all he's got. And he's still the one that this Knicks team could rely on.
It was a nasty sequence, starting with the defensive play. Mm-hmm. A weak side block at the rim. Josh Hart just absolutely destroys Batum.
Beautiful.
Then, you're right, late in shot clock, it's Brunson, Embiid, one-on-one. Yes. Late shot clock, and somehow that little tough shot by Brunson goes in.
Bounce.
Bucket. Yeah, that felt like a swing play early in this game. All of a sudden, the Knicks are up 3-1 after this 97-92 victory. So much to talk about. I just thought it felt like playoff basketball. And in playoff basketball, you got to do the dirty things. You got to play physical. You got to get the second chance opportunities. The Knicks did that. 15 offensive rebounds for 21 second chance points. And this is what they do. I may be a Kings fan, Morgan, but yeah, the Knicks are like the easiest team to root for.
Absolutely.
They just play the right way.
They play hard, but then on top of this, the other thing that I mentioned to you in this whole situation with the Knicks playing, you know, tough basketball, physical basketball, all the different things. Sixers, by the way, also playing that same way. I thought they did great too. But the thing I wanted to say about the Knicks was the way that Tibbs trusts his guys. And you look at who finished the game. And him trusting his defense, especially when it was OG on Joel Embiid. And I guess my point, it's easy to root for a team too, not only the way that they play, but also having a coach that trusts them out there and allows them to play their way. It was cool to watch.
So obviously no Mitchell Robinson in this game. Hartenstein was in foul trouble.
Yep.
Embiid went at him a ton in that third quarter and got to the free throw line. So you're going, hey, he's got five fouls. We may not see him until later in the fourth.
Sure.
No, they went with Precious Achiuwa in there, went with that small ball lineup, but they didn't put Precious on Embiid. Like you said, they had OG Anunoby against Embiid. And this is why you trade for a guy like OG, because he is a difference maker defensively.
Yes.
What he was able to do against Embiid, one, Embiid's gassed. He's hurt. The guy's got Bell's palsy, okay? I'm not acting like he's 100%.
No.
But OG is such a small defender. He is strong. He doesn't reach. He uses his length. And they did such a great job of playing off Embiid a little bit, giving him some space, but bringing over that double, and then the rotations were just perfect by the Knicks defense.
They were, and this is also without Dante DiVincenzo being out there.
Yeah.
You know, and that was another guy that just couldn't really
They rolled with Deuce going. McBride.
Yes, and you love the way that these guys were rotating, like you said. It felt like they were all on a string, and the fact that it wasn't your starting unit out there to finish the game, and they still understood exactly what they needed to do, what the starting unit would do as a whole. It feels like the identity of this team. We obviously know physicality comes to mind and all that, but truly the way that they just play together and for one another, you could see it there on the defensive end, especially the way that they slowed down Joel Embiid in that fourth.
Joel Embiid had 1 point. In the fourth quarter, he was 0 for 5. I don't know what the Sixers offense was doing at times. I felt like they didn't get him the ball enough to try to create something. Because here's what I do know. Mm-hmm. The guy gets a lot of calls. He creates some contact. And it felt like they went away. Now, did they go away because he's like a decoy out there? Yeah. He was gassed. He wasn't feeling right. Remember, he took that fall in this game, landed on Brunson, I believe, too. He was grabbing his knee. It seems like he grabs his knee almost every game. Like, he's playing through it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what was going on, but it just seems so predictable. Like, the one sequence that was a train wreck, I think it was right around 3 minutes ago in the fourth quarter, seemed like Maxey and Lowry were just trying to get Maxey with the ball, with Brunson defending, and they just couldn't, there was no other movement around. It ends up leading to Embiid getting a grenade three that was blocked by Achiuwa. Oh. And it just felt like there were so many soul-sucking plays where the Knicks played great defense. They're getting the rebounds. Josh Hart wasn't knocking down shots in this game. The guy had 17 rebounds. Five offensive rebounds.
Wow. I didn't realize that's what he had.
Yeah.
Finishing with. I mean, he's unbelievable. And it's like, you could look at like any possession of this game and you're seeing, even like we've mentioned before, the 50-50 balls fall into Josh Hart's hands. But it's not because they just fall there and it's like, oh, it's lucky, it's fluky. It's because they position themselves in the right places. They are always crashing the boards. They are always making sure that they are attacking in every way possible, remaining aggressive. And I felt like this was just one of those games where if you were like, what is the identity of the New York Knicks? Like, this was the game. Yeah. And it was a playoff game. It was just beautiful.
The Knicks in the fourth quarter were 6 of 21. They shot 28%. They are 1 of 8 from 3. They scored 20 points. Mm-mm. The difference, they're getting offensive rebounds.
Yep.
They're getting to the free throw line. And they held the Sixers to 16 in the quarter. I mean, in the game, the Knicks shoot 43%, 7 of 27 from 3. But when you're doing those other things, when you're getting the offensive rebounds, it's a game changer. By the way, it was 90-89 at the 5:04 mark of the fourth quarter.
Okay.
Knicks were up 90-89. The rest of the way, the Sixers went 0-11. The only points they got the rest of the game came at the free throw line in the final 5:04. Nick Nurse has to be looking back at what was going on with us offensively. Give the Knicks credit. Their defense was engaged, but it just seemed like there was no movement.
Yes.
The fact that you're just staring at, can Maxey create something? Embiid's not a factor. Where's everybody else?
It's, again, because the Knicks threw something else at the Sixers, which was OG basically on Joel Embiid. Yeah. And then you throw that double. You're used to the double coming over, but it felt like every guy was able to rotate over in time and just make everyone's life more difficult. You know, you saw Tyrese Maxey there even at the end have some nice plays all the way to the basket, high off the glass. He was still doing what he does such a great job of, but it was much harder for him because of the defense. And then finally, Kyle Lowry being Kyle Lowry, who did he end up taking down on that screen?
It was OG.
He took him down on that screen. And that was the way that they could get something going, even in the final seconds of still being able to get a free throw, get the ball, all those things. So, yeah, it just felt like everything seemed a lot harder for the Sixers team. Nothing was flowing the right way. And you're right. What is Nick Nurse going to do in the next game, especially if Tibbs throws that same lineup at them even more?
And probably going to see some of that same lineup with that adjustment. I love seeing it. They just rotated so well on that. You could switch everything. They felt pretty good about the rotations. It looked really good. Also, before we get to Brunson, shout out to Deuce McBride. The sky's already a dog, but when he's hitting threes,
it's
night-night. Yep. I mean, he was great out there. He finished with 13 points. He had 4 rebounds, knocked down 3 of 5 from downtown. So he hit 3 of the 7 Knicks threes in this game.
Big moments.
Now the player of the game, Jalen Brunson. I don't even know what to say about this guy. This, like, smallest guy on the court gets to his spots. How many? We saw Embiid on him.
Yeah.
We saw Harris on him.
Yep.
Maxey, Oubre, Lowry. He was cooking everybody.
It was one of those days for him. And you know, if you remember, if you're a Kings fan out there and you remember watching the game with when the Knicks came to Golden 1 Center and Jalen Brunson couldn't miss, yes, I know it's traumatic to even think about, but truly it was like, oh, he's getting everywhere, this is annoying. To see him do it now against another team and to do it in a playoff game, it's just jaw-dropping performance from this guy. And a guy that, by the way, gets banged up at the end and still comes back out and gets to his spots, gets his. And there's times I thought the Knicks offense toward the end ended up getting a little bit more stagnant where they're like, go ISO, rely on Jalen Brunson, rely on him. And it was getting frustrating, but what it would do would create the defense to still shift and have to pay so much attention to him that they were able to get a spray three, that they were able to move a little bit more without the basketball, and he was able to get someone else that might have had a more open look.
You think about all the Knicks legends over the years, right? Well, Brunson makes history. A franchise record, 47 points in a playoff game. He had 47 points, 10 assists, 4 rebounds. He did it on 18 of 34 shooting. Great shooting. He was 9 of 11 at the free throw line. No, I mean, this guy's a gamer. You know, if you think about what the Knicks have had to deal with this year, Julius Randle out, Robinson now out again. They lose Boyan in this game.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, all right, next man up. Who's going to play? They're playing different lineups, but the one constant has been this guy who's been playing at an all NBA level, and he gets to his spots, and he's not afraid of the moment. He plays at his speed. He can play physical. But his ability to be so shifty, slow the game down, and be able to finish, it's remarkable.
When we were talking about him during the game, one of the words that you used to describe him, and it's just, I mean, simple, patience. Yep. He's such a patient player. He plays with so much patience and composure. And, I mean, you're seeing the way that it's not even like the quickest guy out there. It's not the strongest guy out there. He's just a dog. And, like, what he's been able to do with his handles, though, go in and out between the legs, then have that first step and find a way to get that floater, to know how to use his size when he does get into the paint. It's absolutely incredible the way he's been able to create space, his timing of everything. It's just beautiful basketball.
And what do you do?
What
right?
Do you
because
do?
He can break down.
You hit him.
It seems like anyone one-on-one.
Yeah.
If you throw blitzes at him, you're
good
in trouble because he's going to make the right play.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the answer is at this point for Jalen Brunson because he gets to his spots and it looks nasty. So the Knicks are now up 3-1 in this series with the chance to close it out at Madison Square Garden. If you were watching the game and you weren't paying attention, you might have thought, I thought they were at Madison Square Garden.
Damn.
Knicks fans took over that building the last 2 games, and I get it. It's a mixed crowd. They're close by, but I am stunned at hearing MVP chants, at how loud it got in that building for the Knicks.
Dude, even when Deuce McBride was knocking down 3, Deuce, like, you could hear it in the crowd, and it felt in some ways that home court energy was there for them. Now, like you said, they're close enough. It's going to happen. I get it. But it can't feel good if you're feeling, and especially can't feel good after a game like this.
The last thing I want to talk about with the Knicks, too, with this win, 97-92, is just because of the mentality. You said, hey, Brunson's a dog. Well, they got dogs everywhere on this team, and they don't get rattled off missed shots. And when you don't get rattled off missed shots and you just keep playing and you defend, this is probably one of Tom Thibodeau's favorite games. It's like, yeah, we didn't shoot the ball well, but we just kept playing. And unlikely hero stepped up. OG, he was a monster on the glass too. We talk about what Josh Hart did with 17 rebounds. OG gives you 16, 14, three blocks. Josh Hart also had three blocks. But OG's defense, his ability to defend one through five, and that you feel comfortable enough to put him against Embiid.
Yeah.
And he was still knocking down shots. He doesn't try to do too much offensively, but he could hit that pull-up jumper. He'll take a three, and make one today, but I thought he had some really nice moments.
Yeah, and some of those moments, even defensively, like you're talking about, like we know what he's capable of doing. But it's like we've said with any team, when you have other guys that are capable of putting on that perimeter pressure and also doing their job, it allows you to elevate your game and your skill sets and what you're so great at. And he was able to do that, obviously, because everyone was playing at such a high level and being able to crash the boards like that. And one more thing about Hart as well, five, remember when he got his fifth foul and how long he was playing with that fifth foul and still being able to play aggressive.
He didn't change it.
How many times did I say to you, I said, why isn't everyone just attacking Josh Hart? Get him the hell off the floor. If you're the Sixers, get him off the floor. You do not want that guy out there. They're already down some guys. Just another thing that I thought it was a missed opportunity for the Sixers as well.
Embiid gives him 27 points. He did on 7 of 19 shooting, though. He was 12 of 14 at the free throw line. A lot of those coming in the third quarter. Maxey had 23 points, but just 8 of 21 shooting. The Sixers shot just 35% in this game. So, feels like it's going to be really tough. I mean, here's what I do know. This series, I hope it goes long.
Yeah.
Just because I've dug it. It's been super competitive. It's gone chippy. There's a lot of jaw-jacking. Bring on more of this series.
Oh, yeah.
Knicks fans are like, no, close this shit out. Game 4, Clippers and Mavs had literally everything.
Everything.
The Clippers on fire in the first, knocking down 8 of 11 from 3. Paul George with 16 points. The lead goes to 31 points, but Dallas trims it to 15 by halftime. Kyrie making crazy shots. Mm-hmm. Harden taking over. Paul George bearing a crazy-ass three. And Dallas ends up getting the lead at one point. But the Clippers hold on to win without Kawhi Leonard. All of a sudden, this series is tied at 2-2 after a 116-111 Clippers win.
You're right. You're right. It had everything. And by the way, it's even having so much in the beginning, me thinking, oh, am I even going to want to watch the rest of this game?
I'm glad you said that, because this is why you watch. Even before the game, you're like, oh, Kawhi Leonard's out. After what happened last game, you're like, I don't know. The Mavs should clean up.
You want to know what kept me into this game, too? The energy of the crowd. Mm. And what I loved is you never felt like this team was completely deflated, because you never felt like the atmosphere was completely deflated. I thought the crowd was unbelievable in Dallas. And you even had, you know, Mike Breen talking about Doris, JJ, they're all talking about this crowd and how it was helpful at times even for this team. But what I even loved about the crowd is them talking shit, Paul George talking shit to them in the beginning when he was on fire and couldn't miss. And it's just like looking at them like, yeah, what are you going to do about it? Well, the Mavs finally did something about it when they started coming back, especially in that third quarter.
Yeah, I was so impressed with the crowd. Because you're right, there's sometimes you're watching games, and when a team is at home just getting their asses kicked.
Everyone's just down.
You're down, you're just sitting there like, oh, boo, they're booing. No, this crowd, when Breen's going, and this place is going crazy as the Mavs cut it to 20, you're like, what? And it was just that atmosphere. The players were feeding off of it.
They totally were.
You felt the momentum swing.
For sure.
You know, once they got up 31, Kyrie got it going a little bit, and it cut to 25. And you just felt like, okay, they can get a stop here. And that's what makes today's game so wild, is like a 31-point lead, 25-point lead. Doesn't really matter as much, especially if it's early in the game. And the biggest credit to Dallas is that they kept fighting in this one, that they didn't fold. They weren't just thinking about the next game. It's like, no, we're going to come back and try to win this game. They had their chances. It was incredible shot making that first quarter by Paul George, Norm Powell. Like, I'm watching some of the threes Paul's hitting. I'm like, there's nothing you can do.
Hand in the face. They were contested. I mean, he was just feeling it. He needed just enough space to actually get the shot to go off. That's all he needed, because he was just in his bag. He was feeling it. And it's fun when you're watching someone on fire, but when they're on fire like that on a whole nother level, it is just amazing to watch, especially in a playoff game. But yeah, I think that Clippers team as a whole was just, they were playing hot basketball early on together, and they never looked back. The way that they were dominating that first quarter, I was so impressed, especially without Kawhi Leonard.
They led 39-16 after the first. The lead ballooned to 55-24 at the 5:29 mark of the second quarter. But by halftime, it was a completely new game, down to 15 because Dallas got back into it. Kyrie Irving had 16 points in the second quarter. Third quarter was all Dallas, 29-16. And in the fourth quarter, what a back-and-forth affair we saw. I was so impressed by the stars in this game. And this is what it's about. You know, it's like, all right, can the stars come up big in key moments? Of course, you need the others too. But Harden and George today were absolutely fantastic. And through stages of the third quarter, you're wondering, oh no, are they going to be, we're going to look back at this game and go, they had a great first half and folded, but they came out big down the stretch.
Yeah. And coming out big down the stretch, I mean, you really look at someone like James Harden. He was unguardable. And I don't even think it was just, oh, Dallas's defense, you know, get that switch with Luka. We'll break that down a little bit more. But it just felt like he was so composed and he was going to play his game no matter what was thrown at him. And that's exactly what he continued to do, especially in some of the biggest moments of that game when the Clippers needed him the most. I know Paul George knocked down a huge corner three where his footwork was absolutely amazing. But let's just start with James Harden and especially what he did in that fourth quarter, Deuce, because he carried the team, but it didn't matter if a double was going to come on him, because then it was going to be in a situation where it's like, okay, 3-on-4. You know, you're seeing them just break it down. Such a smart player. And then let's say the double didn't come. They were seeking out Luka Doncic. Luka had those five fouls. They were like, let's get him out of this game. And instead, it just messed with the Mavs defense, and they couldn't find a way to even slow him down. I wish Kleba came up a little bit more. They didn't have Gafford in there. They didn't have Lively in there. And I know they didn't want Kleba to come up too much because they didn't want James Harden to just drop the ball off to someone like Zubats and get that easy dunk. But I just felt like, hey, couldn't someone just rotate a step over? They didn't feel like they were in tuned in that fourth quarter defensively.
I thought that was a swing of the game, is when Luka picks up his fifth foul and James Harden played smart basketball.
Yes.
He said, we're going to try to hunt that matchup. And they got it a couple of times, yeah, to your point. And Luka can't foul. So Luka's not even defending him, right? Like, Luka can't, because he fouls out, it's over.
Yep.
But it felt like such a big sequence in the final couple of minutes. One, Kyrie hits an unbelievable shot to give Dallas a lead, 105-104. I don't know how he finished that. But then after that, Harden just went hunting over and over again. Dallas tried to pre-switch it too, but he blew by Kleba. He blew by PJ Washington. And that's the critical thing in this game. I think Kidd made a mistake. You've got Derek Lively and Gafford on your bench.
Yeah.
I understand you. The Kleba men's have been good in this series, but this particular matchup with Luka in foul trouble, when you guys can't stop Harden, someone's got to come up and contest.
You needed activity. You just needed a hand. Like, not to say like he wasn't going to make it with a hand in his face. He wasn't going to make it if there was a body in front of him. That floater was unbelievable. But at the same time, you got to try something different. I just felt like that adjustment down the stretch, something should have been made. And it's like you said, maybe they just wanted Kleba to stay in because they wanted him to be able to stretch the floor even on the offensive end for them. But at the same time, it didn't matter, because if you weren't getting the stops that you needed,
you needed
somebody to stop James Harden.
James Harden had 15 points in the fourth quarter. He finished with 33 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds in the game. Paul George had 33 points. The corner three that Paul George hit. So out of a timeout, Harden's trying to a beautiful play to George that would have been easy basket at the rim, unfortunately mishandled.
Yep.
Paul George kind of balances that baseline
barely
and somehow creates a three-point shot over Derrick Jones Jr. I don't know how he even created it, let alone make that shot.
Yeah, and I think when you're just feeling it like that as a player out there, the confidence level is at a whole different level. You know, what is even playoff P, whatever it is that came out of him, and especially in that moment in that corner, his footwork was absolutely stunning. The timing of how he pushed back to create just the amount of space that he needed to get the shot off was just incredible. His shot making ability all day long was incredible in this game. And yeah, that shot especially was, I don't know, deflating in my mind.
It's so hard to come back when you're down 31 points. So you have to play almost perfect basketball, and Dallas almost achieved that. If you're the Clippers, you have to be feeling kind of good, right? Because you did win game one without Kawhi, and you did it in a pretty impressive fashion. You lost the next two. You lose Kawhi. It doesn't seem like he's going to be coming back for this series. Game four, not only do you respond with some great shooting, you didn't fold. When the game got tied again, you still made plays. Yep. And to your point, everyone's looking, oh, is playoff P showing up tonight, huh? Oh, James Harden, you know, he doesn't make shots in the clutch. Both those guys who kind of have that reputation, fairly or not, came up big down the stretch in this game for the Clippers.
Yeah, and like you said, as an NBA fan, that's what makes you excited when you have the biggest names out there actually getting it done on the biggest stage. So that was a lot of fun to see. And then you even go to the other end of the floor. Like you said, Paul George stepping up in the offensive end. I even felt like on the defensive end, he was doing as good of a job as he could do. The way that he was guarding Kyrie Irving at one point, and Kyrie still found a way to score. I believe that one ended up being a baseline jumper off the glass. And I was like, oh man, Paul George, this defense incredible. And Kyrie somehow got it off. It was just so fun to watch on both ends of the floor, not only from the offensive standpoint from a lot of these star players, but even from the defensive point.
Luka had a weird game. 29 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. If you look at the box score, 10 of 24. He was 1 of 9 from 3 in this game. He just didn't look 100%. I think the foul issues kind of messed with him. The Clippers are being so physical with him, too. Yeah. He's got to stay locked in. But it was just one of those nights where it's crazy to say this, 29, 10, and 10, where like you felt like you needed more from him in that regard.
I know. And when you do look at that box score, it's pretty incredible to see. And he's playing 45 minutes, and it felt like at times when he does get banged up, you're like, ooh, is he okay? Is he not? Sometimes it's to sell it a little bit more. James Harden does the same thing, throws his head back anytime anyone even looks at him wrong. So, yeah, it's what you're going to see throughout the game. But I think you're exactly right for Luka. Him not being able to make his shot, it was like, okay, well, what else can you do? I know at times I told you I thought he was being a little bit too passive. I thought there was times he was getting somewhere in the paint, breaking down the defense, and or the defense was just in transition, not back all the way. And he was still either making the extra pass, which
yep,
at times led to an open three, a better basket, great job. But I think he needed to see the ball go through the net even a few more times for him. I know he missed some key free throws there at the end. He was 8 of 10 at the free throw line, which is still obviously good. But yeah, just not the Luka Doncic game that you're used to seeing, especially in the playoffs. But that's why it was nice to see that Kyrie was able to step up.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Anthony Edwards, are you shitting me?
You know what I love is that we started the day with Jalen Brunson and we ended the day with Anthony Edwards in that magical show he put on there against the Suns.
Sun season's over. The T-Wolves send them packing, sweep them, winning 122 to 116. I was just amazed by what we saw from Anthony Edwards in that second half. Playing tough defense, hitting big shots, dunking, coming up with huge plays left and right. He had 40 in this game. 30 of those points came in the second half.
Oh my God.
In the fourth quarter, he had 16 points on 6 of 7 shooting. He was the best player on the, in a game that featured Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Cat, Beal. Anthony Edwards was the best player on the floor.
Absolutely.
He's that guy.
Absolutely. And it was so fun to watch because I think one word to describe the way he was playing there at the end would just be automatic. I mean, I'd just be watching the game. He'd be taking a shot. And I'm like, really? Yep, really? Yep, really? I think I even said that to you at one point. I was like, you know, if he missed that one, I would have been like, I probably shouldn't have taken it. But he's not missing anything. No. There wasn't a thing. And it's not only was he not missing his shot from the mid-range, from the three-point line. He wasn't missing the open man either. He drove to the baseline, had a double thrown at him, somehow wraps it around the double, finds Mike Conley in the corner, three. I was so impressed with the way he was able to get everyone involved, the way that people were still relocating and understanding, hey, be open, be ready, because we have someone on our team in Anthony Edwards that's going to find us. He's going to find the best shot for this team. And a lot of times that was when he had the ball in his hands.
And I shortchanged him a point. 31 points in the second half. 31 of his 40 in the second half. 9 rebounds, 6 assists. What was so impressive, too, about this game as a whole is this was probably the toughest one for the T-Wolves, right? They had to fight for this one. The Suns played desperate. They're playing small ball. They're playing physical. A ton of whistles in this game. The T-Wolves were knocking down shots early, but you never felt like this game got out of their control, even when they were behind. It just felt like they were on the cusp of pulling away.
I'm with you. The confidence that they had while being out there. And you say that this was the best opportunity for the Suns to actually get a W in this series. And they still couldn't find a way to get it. Even with all the pieces, all the shot makers on their team, Devin Booker dropping 49 points, they still couldn't find a way because the T-Wolves were just that much better as a team. And that was on both ends of the floor. I mean, how many times have we talked about their defense? You got McDaniels, the way that he slows down anyone along the perimeter. I mean, I know against the Sacramento Kings at times we're like, wow, that is De'Aaron Fox's kryptonite. And tonight, at times, even with Devin Booker scoring 49, when he was put on Booker, it was like he was just making him work so hard to get anything out there. Really fun to watch on defense.
Tonight's game did shift a little bit, especially defensively, because all these guys got into foul trouble. You know, McDaniels is playing with 5 fouls. Towns had 5. Gobert had 4. On the other side, you had Nurkic with 5. Beal fouled out. Booker had 5. So guys also had to be careful a little bit too. I'm glad you brought McDaniels. I know we talked about him a couple of games ago, but you know, we talk so much about what he does defensively because of his length and his ability to just defend.
Move. Yeah.
But it's the offensive development that, especially in the playoffs, you're seeing him knock down shots, and what a difference it is. He's going to get good looks, and Anthony Edwards making so many of the right decisions. Sorry to go back to his passing. There was one play
Ant drove baseline in the fourth quarter,
and I'm like, oh, the double's going to come. And of course, Ant's like, I know the double's coming. And he threw that laser to Conley in the corner.
I mentioned that.
But he had a couple of those passes where you're like, he's in the air and just an absolute bullet, just a dime, where you go, how did you even pass it? It looked like you were, about to take a shot at the rim and you're no looking to the corner and the ball's whipping around. They got great shots. Even when they were missing tonight, this team got great shots.
And one more thing going off of his passing too. No, because I think when we look at someone like Luka Doncic and his ability to pass, we really talk about, wow, he has that size so he can pass over guys. Ant just has the vision, the IQ, the athleticism, all these other things that elevates him and allows him to also make those wild passes to the open man.
It seems like he thrives in these moments.
Yes.
And I don't think, you know, I think so much of the conversation on all the shows coming up on Monday on ESPN, or, you know, Fox Sports, all the debate shows, they're going to be just shitting on the Suns tomorrow. And by the way, shit on the Suns.
Deserved. Yes.
But I think the T-Wolves need to be talked about more.
Yep.
Because they have been the most impressive team to start the playoffs.
Yeah.
This was a complete performance tonight. Yeah, it was a little more challenging for them, but you never felt like the Suns had a legit chance in this one because Anthony Edwards took over. Their defense has been incredible. And now they get a rest a little bit. I think tomorrow it is going to be so much about KD, what's his legacy? Booker, will be a no show. And I'm not saying like these questions don't need to come up. I just think the headline should be T-Wolves. It's not about what the Suns didn't do. It's about what the Wolves did. That's
celebrate.
My point. Celebrate the fact that Ant has taken a step where you're going, is he one of the best guys in the league? Yeah, probably. Cat, I'll tell you what, man, I've been hard on Cat over the years.
Yeah.
He has some huge shots in this game. Some big threes, made some big plays. I thought he played well.
One of the biggest plays that you even mentioned while we were watching the game when I think the ball either came back out to him, and usually when he's beyond the arc, ball bounces
back. It was a second chance opportunity. Yes. He felt like he was going
to
rush it.
And he'll usually just take that quick three, right? Instead, pump fake, went to the basket, high off the glass, and one opportunity for him. And it was just like his patience, his decision-making, even that moment. It was like, okay, even Kat has matured here. It was great to see that he's allowed the game to kind of come to him in his frustrating moments. How many times have we seen over the years that just completely take him out of the game, screws with the entire team? And it felt like it happened a few times, and then it stopped. It slowed down,
That's
and
a
everything
great point.
Was good.
They were called for 27 fouls. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Right? There's a lot of whistles in this
game. This game was long.
It was super physical. It was like a three-hour game. The Suns got called for 26 fouls. We saw the Suns take 36 free throws in this game. Minnesota took 31. But actually, that point I didn't even think about was the fact that Kat didn't get totally caught up in it. And there have been times in the past you're like, dude, you just got to play through it. This team is growing.
It is.
And this team has done it the right way, right? They drafted well. Mm-hmm. They made some swings that were criticized. The Gobert trade was definitely criticized, right? Right now, it looks amazing. Gobert doesn't get played off the floor anymore because he's got great... He's a good defender, obviously. Could be Defensive Player of the Year. But they have defenders all around him.
Yep.
Ant's taken a huge step defensively. Kat's not like a joke defensively at all. He moves well for a big. McDaniels, we talked about him. Nikhil Alexander Walker, who's not only playing defense, but knocking down shots.
I want to give Mike Conley just so much love for like a lot of this. It's not like, oh, you add a vet and that is the savior. That is the hero of the team. But at the same time, I mean, you had a vet like Mike Conley who not only can do it from a leadership presence, just like just where he's been in this league, experience and everything, but then what he's still capable of doing on the floor at such a high level. And even tonight, you know, just dropping 10 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, being a manager out there still in his 34 minutes. But you talk about the maturity of this team and where it has gone since he's been with this squad. It has just gone in such a different direction.
It's one of those trades that I don't think gets talked about enough.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it flew under the radar. Everyone at last trade deadline, what were they talking about? Kyrie going to Dallas. They were talking about KD going to Phoenix.
Sure.
But the T-Wolves going from D'Angelo Russell, who had the flashes, of course, what he can do offensively, to Mike Conley, doesn't have an ego. He's comfortable in his own skin. He's been in the game a long time. Like you said, in Memphis and Utah, playing in big games. He doesn't need to be a 20-point game a guy. game a guy anymore. He needs to just go out there and play the right way, and he does that.
Yeah, and I think also, too, when you look at last season, I mean, this is something we've also mentioned with, like, McDaniels was hurt, you know? Like, everything
Nas Reed was hurt.
Nas Reed was hurt. Everything was just a little bit different, right? I mean, that makes the defense so much different. That makes the energy of this team so much different. So not only do they grow and mature with having more consistency, more health with their team, with this roster, but everyone also took a leap, a little step in their games as well. And this team, this Minnesota team, not even playing their best team basketball tonight, I would say, still found a way to win, found a way to sweep the Suns. They looked pretty damn solid in these four wins against the Phoenix Suns.
They dominated.
And that's really hard to do, especially in the playoffs.
And now they get to play the winner of Lakers Nuggets. I think everyone wants to see the T-Wolves Nuggets rematch from last playoffs where, the as we just talked about, the T-Wolves were shorthanded. What's that look like this year if we get that matchup? But the Nuggets have to take care of business too. They haven't closed out their series. So Minnesota looks awesome. I think this series makes me even feel differently about maybe their prospects about how far they can go, man. I feel like they've got the pieces. It's about, to me, long-term, can Gobert and Kat stay mentally engaged and don't let the officials get to them. They both can do that at times. There's going to be tough calls. Just keep playing through it. You play the right way. You play disciplined. With that guy, Anthony Edwards, on your squad, you're going to have a chance. The guy is one of the best players in the league now. You could see it. He plays with joy. He plays both ends. I love that guy.
I love watching him play, and that's why I think if you're an NBA fan out there, just – embrace it, enjoy it, soak it all in, because like isn't that the commercial, like, next up, or like they try to like market it like next up, like he's here, he is here and he is doing his thing. So like, appreciate it while it's here, it's young, it's happening right in front of your eyes.
And congrats to the T-Wolves for winning a series. First time they've done that in a long time, I believe 19 years.
Yep.
Crazy to think about that. The two teams with the longest playoff series win droughts now. The Hornets and the Sacramento Kings both at 20 seasons.
Hey, sometimes you got to be there. And another thing, Deuce, that we did not mention yet, sending lots of love to Chris Finch. Oh, my God. What a weird, strange way to end that game. What, 90 seconds left in this one? Mike Conley in transition. Runs into Chris Finch. He goes down on the sideline. Everyone's like, okay, what's going to happen? And then you see everyone huddle. You see people give the fist, and you're just like, what the hell is happening?
When they put the towels to like cover, I'm like, is it a compound fracture? We learn after the game, Shams Charania reporting that it's a ruptured patellar tendon for Chris Finch. Mm. And he had to be helped off the floor. It felt like they took him the longest way possible. Is that the easiest way in Phoenix? I'm like, he had to go up the concourse.
I was like, why are we bringing him up any
Get
stairs
this guy
right
to the
now?
Back.
Yeah. Move some chairs.
So who knows if he's going to need surgery or not. Ruptured. It seems like that would be the case. I'm not a doctor.
Nope,
but all
do
I'm
it.
Thinking about is like, we were discussing this a bit too. Is like, dude, that kind of impacts him and how he coaches, right? Like, he's not jumping up to yell instructions at his teams or work the officials. Like, it's going to change the way he goes about things.
Just look at the way that you even saw at time him look at the back of the bench and then look at the, like, we're going to challenge that. We're not going to challenge that. Like, I know it's...
If it's ruptured, he's not going to be able to walk is the point. So that it's that's going to change things.
It really does. It's real. I know. I think sometimes people go like, well, he can coach sitting down. And of course, like, he will be
there. It's going to be different for him.
It's still going to be different. It's going to alter things. And just really shitty. Hoping he has a speedy recovery no matter how they have to go about it.
Let's talk about the Suns for a second, Morgan. Man.
There's doesn't it feel like they're just screwed for the future? I mean, we could talk about them tonight, but really I think it's more about what's going to happen next.
What's funny about them tonight, you go, they were in the game. Like,
I know.
Katie and Booker showed up. You know, those guys combined for, 80-plus points in the game? 49 for Booker. Durant had 33 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 blocks. But look at the others. Beal was rough, man, dude. 9 points for him in 32 minutes. He fouled out of this game. Nurkic, 9 points in this game. He had 5 fouls. They didn't get a lot from anybody else. And you're right. I don't know where they go. You know what's going to happen? They're going to fire Vogel. Oh, it's all Vogel's fault. It's not all Vogel's fault.
Yeah, you got to blame someone.
The reality is when you put a team like this together where it's so top-heavy that you're paying 50-plus million for Beal, for Booker, mm-hmm. and KD, you have to be really good with what you put around them. Grayson Allen was really strong this year, but other than that, the role players, you didn't know. Like, Eric Gordon had some times where it looked good.
He had some moments.
But we said this weeks ago, yeah. I'm saying it now, you don't have a point guard, mm-hmm. and you have a big who can't guard or protect the rim. How are you going to win a championship? You made these moves to win championships. You sacrificed young talent,
yep.
draft picks, and cap space. And now you're kind of stuck. Bradley Beal is under contract. He's got a no trade clause. You don't have the flexibility to do anything else. Bobby Marks says their committed salary, $209 million next year. That's well above the second apron. So that limits what you can do. Your free agents include Royce O'Neal. It's going to be too tough to bring him back. Mm-hmm. It'll cost you like $1 billion to bring him back. Eric Gordon has a player option. Okogie, Bol Bol's a free agent. Drew Eubanks also has a player option. So how do you improve around them? KD's another year older. They don't have a point guard. What the hell do you do?
I mean, all of those things, right? And I don't know. I obviously do not have the solution. I mean, my solution would have been to not do this in the first place. And I think the thought around a name like Kevin Durant and pairing that with anything is we got a championship. And that's just not the case anymore. And it's not a knock on him or his game because he is still absolutely incredible. But it's still a team sport. And you have to have the right pieces to make everybody and to elevate even someone's game like Kevin Durant because he is aging and his game is going to be a little bit different and they also need help. And sure, you can look at Devin Booker and look at that being the other help.
You need a point guard.
It's going to be what it is, and what it is a first or second round playoff series. It's not a championship roster.
But those moves you made were to win a championship.
To win a championship.
So now you're like, what do? You got this new owner who wanted this. I was just thinking when you were saying that, I'm like, imagine Mike Conley on that team. Just having that type of guy on your squad to run things. They didn't have that this year. And I'm like, I don't know what the path is for them. Yep. Like, do you start selling off parts? Okay, we're gonna trade Durant. Okay, are you getting better off of that? Like, what are you getting out of that? You're going to piss off Booker at that point? Do you just blow it up in general? Or do you just go, you know what? This is it. We just have to make it work. And we're going to try to find the right vets and the right coach to bring it all together. I just think it's really going to be tough for them going forward. And it sucks because they had a team that went to the NBA Finals that lost to the Bucks. They won 60-plus games with Chris mm-hmm. Paul, with Bridges and Cam Johnson. They had this squad that was young and fun, and now they went all in on this, and this is what you get. A first-round exit. You don't even win a game. And I feel so bad for the Suns fans because they've been through so much over the years.
Oh my God.
They finally look like they're coming out of it, had that finals appearance. They won a ton of games. You get KD, you're feeling amazing. But then you see this, and you think about what they were thinking about at the end of the season. Suns fans were probably feeling good. Like, hey, man, we had a tough schedule. With some big wins down the stretch. We're figuring it out. They got absolutely destroyed in this series by a team that is just better, who's deeper, plays better defense, and more complete and cohesive. You can't build a team like the Suns built a team.
No. And I think that's more apparent than ever. And you're seeing some of these better basketball teams, not with just star players, not with just some key pieces, but these teams really take the next step in the postseason. I think a team like the Knicks is a good example. Now we'll see where they go. Yep. But my point is, when you see a style of play for an entire team that buys in to an identity, it's good things are going to happen. So for the Suns, I don't know what their identity was. I think they just relied on their identity being Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. And Bradley Beal, like we've said, with
in and out of the lineup,
and with the no trade clause. So, like, what do you even do with that situation? I don't know. Rich people, figure it out. Do your thing.
All right. Appreciate you guys so much for listening to our thoughts on this fun Sunday of NBA basketball. We'll drop more NBA content all the time. Check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/@DeuceandMo. And make sure you're locked into this podcast feed. Give us a 5-star review while you're at it. We appreciate you guys, but we gots to go.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.